Okay, this is Terry from New Jersey. Today is April 26, Wednesday, 2017. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about tonight in particular? Not all at once, please. So apparently it's just me and Laura on tonight.
I guess so. I know. You can see people on here.
California Fred here. Can you hear me?
Hey,
Fred. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'll report one thing that I heard on the Trump channel, you know, the White House Gov channel. Today he signed an executive order that is going to limit this Obama land grab where everything was a national park. He eliminated it. So,
yeah, I saw that. That was very interesting. I wonder how that's going to affect all the ranchers out there.
Exactly my point, sir. That's why I brought that up. All to stay within the spirit of courtroom observers. I'll be quiet now and let you guys talk.
Oh.
No, we'd like
well,
to hear from you because
people.
We don't know anything about what's going on out there. You know, I don't own any head of cattle. I just got one head of dog.
Well,
it's been a National Liberty Alliance thing where they have filed all kinds of court paperwork and they've been trying to get the judges to at least respond to their paperwork, and they're not even doing that. So
right.
National Liberty Alliance has actually started a lawsuit. They had to actually pay $400 and some. They don't seem to be able to get a court of record anywhere in the United States under the common law. And they're going in as the people who authorized the Constitution for the United States of America, and we're demanding an Article 3 court, which is the only court that we, the people, authorized and set up. And they're not having much luck so far, and that's where we're at. Now, the courtroom observers will play a hell of an important part during this process because there will be one really important case for the courtroom observers to be in. And that will be the National Liberty Alliance court case where they're claiming to be the national grand jury bringing the United States on the carpet for a grievance. This is unique, never happened before. It's got to be followed. The media has to pick it up. People need to be outraged and hold our government accountable to the law. So I hope your courtroom observers are gearing up to at least participate with National Liberty Alliance case.
I hope they're listening to the calls to do that. I mean, we used to do a year and a half, two years ago, we were doing that because we didn't have enough people in each state to just do a state or whatever state it was in.
Yeah, that's a very interesting development, and I wonder where it's going to lead because it really kind of exposed the fraud of the present judicial system that it's all an illusion. You have no rights. You're just going to be ignored, and that's not – I hate to see where this is going to lead if they keep ignoring us.
Well, the interesting – results that have panned out so far, in my opinion, are this one judge who was reading from some kind of a United Nations agenda where they're claiming that they have some kind of different authority other than the common law and the Constitution, because as I understand it, they are drawing a salary from the Treasury Department, and they took an oath of office to the Constitution. So they are committing high treason.
I think you're right.
Now, there is one possible exception to this whole damn rule, and that might be the fact that there really aren't any Article III judges. They're not being paid in gold. They're being paid in this fractional reserve dollar system that's actually a debtor note, and that might some way drag them into some kind of a contract to rape the American public and call us bankrupt to extort money from us and put us in a foreign jurisdiction. But none of that was spelled out, and it's fraud, so I don't see how they get by with it.
It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
Yeah, well, you know how to make a hangman's noose?
I could find out real quick.
Well, I'll tell you what, 13 wraps is illegal to make unless you're going to use it. Figure that one out.
I'm sorry, figure what one out. There's some background noise here, and I don't want to mute everybody, but somebody's got to mute themselves, or otherwise I'm going to have to mute them.
Oh, well, 13 wraps on a hangman's noose is illegal unless you're going to use it.
Really?
That's the law.
What do you mean wraps? Is that I'm not really familiar with hangman's nooses, so...
Well, it's the number of times the rope wraps around itself.
That's what I thought it meant. Okay,
yeah.
And that's illegal?
But 13 wraps is the number you would use to hang someone. That's why it's illegal unless you're going to use it.
Oh. Well, that's handy to know.
It's like don't drive around with a baseball bat in your back seat or a hangman's noose in your trunk.
Right.
Well, our smart meter group in Seattle. God, I'm gonna have to mute that. Hold on. Okay, I think I got it now. Anyway, we've been doing this notice of liability to the council members and the power company about these smart meters. I'm living in Virginia now, but I'm still doing the process. And so we've been doing it for since August of 2014. We started it. And so we send them these notices because they have, you know, contracted. They have contracted with you without your consent by just putting this meter on your house. And maybe putting it in small print on a newsletter or whatever, wherever they say they might have done it. Anyway, so we are holding them to that. We are countering their contract. So I don't know how many notices we've sent them, but we're getting ready. We got three council members to not run for re-election. We got the CEO of the power company to quit. But useful idiots end up taking their place. So we just add those people in on it. And so we're getting ready to, I would say, maybe wrap it up with them. Because you need to give them tons of notices before, I guess, legal action can happen with them. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see.
Are you talking about, like, commercial lien? Because I know that Michael was talking about it, like, last week.
Right, and that's what it can get used to. But the guy that's helping us do this, he's been doing it for quite a while, and he never ends up getting to that point. He always ends up getting – I mean, this guy writes stuff so well that he's had big, high public officials – well, as soon as they opened his mail, they quit their job.
Well, actually, I think there's probably some truth to that because that the direction we're going over here in New Jersey and the Southern District, in that the notices, well, here's how it works. You have to send a notice to the person who's violating your rights, and you have to serve them like, you know, you're supposed to give them like 30 days on each notice, you know?
Right,
and
yeah,
if
that's
they don't
what
respond.
We're doing. Right, exactly.
Well, that's what we're doing. And, you know, it's interesting that we're all coming to the same conclusion here, that this, you know, because they're not responding, this is the way we have to go.
Right. So one thing, I mean, you know, we're not, John does not recommend, you know, commercial liens, because a lot of people, well, a lot of people end up getting in trouble because they still don't have all their ducks in a row before they jump the gun, and then they get in trouble and they might end up in jail. And so what we're learning is that if you end up, if you're going towards a commercial lien, you have to give like so much notice. I mean, tons of notice. So we've given years of notice, but Cal says we never end up having, he never has to end up doing the commercial lien. The documents that we send them end up getting the job done. So that'll be really interesting to see what happens with this.
Yeah, because, you know, I've, you know, seen some anecdotal evidence that they do work, and
yeah.
we're gonna find out one way or the other. You know, the people that get in trouble are the ones that you know, go off hack cocked. You know,
yeah,
and you know they're not they're doing stupid crap like filing $1 million liens and stuff like that, and they're not supported by evidence. For example, if a judge violates your constitutional rights, generally, all of these violations have a monetary fee attached to them, and that is what you're supposed to use. So, but now a judge can violate your rights multiple times for misconduct or whatever. So they can add up quickly. So,
right, and that's what we do. That's what we're doing. There's money attached to it, but to me, you know, we're more interested in them stopping this program they're forcing on everybody than getting any money out of it.
Absolutely, and that's why they're reacting the way that they do, you know? And that's
well, they,
the way they should.
They're getting paid. See, they're so I think I said this on the last call. Okay, so there's now I remember the acronym that they are under, and when California Fred was talking earlier, it reminded me of what they're under. It's called ICLEI, ICLEI or IGLEI or whatever, and it is the UN. It's this UN club that they pay to be a member of, and depending on how big your city is or how small it is, that depends on how much they're, you know, you're going to have to charge to be a member of this club or to pay to be a member of this club, and it. They teach you how to skim off the top, too. Besides their agenda thing, it's not the CAFR. It's beyond the CAFR. It's just crazy, and so to me, they're bound by this club they belong to, even that they pay to belong to, because they, you know, like for instance, I think in Seattle to be a member, you pay $1 million a year to belong to it. And this little town in Texas that had, you know, 4,000, 5,000 population, it was like 12,000 a year to belong to it. And I think I was saying this earlier. I mean, I said this on a call, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where we had a conference call with a former sheriff of that town in Texas, and they exposed ICLEI and the CAFR. And how they did it was they had a mole. Their mole worked in the office and with the city council, and they met for coffee, and she just slipped, or he or she slipped the person that was investigating it just this little envelope, I mean a manila envelope with all the evidence in it. And when they exposed it, there was four council members and a mayor. One council member was not in on it, did not belong to ICLEI, but the three of them went to jail. The other three went to jail, and the mayor skipped town when they exposed all this.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's all this stuff that they, you know, we don't know what, you know, these secret clubs they all belong to.
Yeah, and by what authority do they do this, you know? I mean,
by their own authority, really. I mean, nobody, see, they just, it's an illusion of authority. If we act like they have authority, I mean, we've let them have it, you know, we've bought their illusion.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get out from underneath.
By the way, did you see the article I sent you? It's about, it's from the Cato Institute, and it talks about, it says state and local government debt is soaring. I just want to read a short paragraph here. It says, a growing trend is to securitize future federal aid for highways, housing, and other items in grant anticipation debt. Federal aid has long spurred overspending by the states. But such debt innovation is exacerbating the problem. Recent federal legislation has included new ways for states to go further into debt, such as the creation of three types of municipal tax credit bonds. So that's the name of the game. You know, they want to turn us all into debt slaves, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, and they're going to keep doing it until, you know, we react.
Right. And we say, "What are you? Who are you? And what? Who do you think you are?" You know.
Right. And that's why, for example, when you go to the sheriff, he's not going to lift a finger to help you because he's getting all this money and equipment from the feds.
Laura, this is Helena.
Yeah.
Hi. They're trying to put a smart meter on my house, and I've been putting them off. And Pennsylvania doesn't seem to be as organized as Seattle. And I've heard of the notice of liability from a couple of people, Eric Wenheim, Deborah Weissman in Texas. I think you're talking about her. But I've never gotten a copy of it, or I'm not on their email list so that I could see what I could possibly do to keep these meters.
Okay, because Josh has a whole website. Go to takebackyourpower.net.
Is the notice of liability on there? Because I
he's putting everything up there so everybody can use the stuff.
I haven't found it. I didn't see it. I do. I'm signed up for email alerts for Josh.
Oh, for Josh. You know what? I'm going to give you Josh's email. Do you have it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Whatever his website is, or whatever his news site is.
Yeah, hold on a second. Maybe he hasn't got it up yet, but I will get you to. Let me see what his email is here. Just josh at del-sol.ca.
Oh, it's del.sol?
Not dot, it's dash.
Underscore or dash?
Dash.
Okay, del-sol
dot... Dot C-A.
That's Canada.
Yeah, he's Canadian, but he's down here.
Okay.
Anyway,
You don't have
what I would do is email him and tell him, you know me, and you would like to start the notice of liability. He'll email me back and tell you. He might send you some stuff, or maybe he even can guide you to where he's got stuff up.
There's a fellow here in Monroeville, just on the other side of Pittsburgh, and he chained his analog meter, and that made the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I've talked to him. His first name is Norbert. And we're exchanging information, but that was like September of last year, and he still has a chain on his analog meter. Don't move it. And he's trying to go solo on this, and I think Pennsylvania needs to be better organized.
Yeah, because what we do, there was like, well, initially there was 25 of us, and we've had three die in our group. And
radio frequency will do that to you.
Well, here's the thing is when we started out, one woman was maybe 85, and we started the process. They put a smart meter on her house, and within a month she was dead. And so, and that was because, I don't know, you know, they make any excuse. You had this little thing done to your house, so we're gonna exchange your, you know, meters out. Or maybe they were trying a neighborhood thing. But anyway, so I think we're down to maybe 18 or 20 people that are doing this. But we have these documents. Each of the council members and the City Light and any lawyers that are trying to tell us a bunch of crap, they end up in on our notice of liability. And so each one of those people get the same document from a different person, you know, 18 or 20 documents. They get a pile of them all at once.
That's good.
I know. It's really good.
There is no opt-out here in Pennsylvania as far as...
Well, the thing is, that's extortion anyway. And one of my friends that's in on it with me, he said that he got a notice from City Light for the opt-out program, but nobody else has gotten that. I don't know. They're not organized. They're really, I don't know, you know, maybe what's happening is it's breaking down and not every department agrees with what they're doing. So they're just kind of, I don't know. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem... Anyway, the other thing is that two council members started trying to refuse our documents, and so we served them.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's good to have a bunch of people in on it together.
Well,
and a bunch of us became notaries, too.
The lady who was trying to organize it here in Pennsylvania, Lisa, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, was a Republican commissioner. She just saw that in the paper. She's from Lewiston, central Pennsylvania. And I called her bewildered. I said, you know, I'm already being pulsed with radar. I don't need another radio frequency on my house. And I asked her, what do I do? She said, make an appointment with them and say, I want to be there. And it's almost like inviting the into the hen house. And just make an appointment and then say that your mother's sick, you're going to be out of town, make another appointment. So I did that today. My mother's going to be sick until the middle of May, by the way. So mm-hmm. Sure enough, they gave me another appointment at the end of May. And so now I'm just buying time. I don't know what to do, but this isn't going to last very long, me buying time.
Right. Right. So, was Mike able to help you? Weren't you connected with him last week, right?
Yeah, I did. No, not really, because two issues. First of all these citations that I did pay that were extraordinary and not allowable by their code, and then I still am under a contract that I on to before I knew that I was being overcharged for $1,000 and $1,000 fine, and I'm into it like I'm paid down to like $1,000 or maybe $1,200 or something. So they already owe me a bunch of money. Stop paying the $50 a month that I've committed to for these new citations. I just want to offset it. I don't want to offset it. So I owe some money, like $1,200 still. They're extrajudicial. They're over what's allowable, and then the overpayment that I've made, which is established. I just don't know where to go from here. You know, I'm fighting the wind. It seems like battling.
Well, that's what a lot of us feel like. I mean, because they're just like robots. They only respond to certain things, and if you send them stuff that they don't want to deal with, they just give you a robotic or no non-answer.
I just don't want to put any more money in their kitty because they
owe me.
Yeah,
I don't blame you.
Because I've overpaid. If I do swallow their request for those. I mean, they were unwarranted fines, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm.
John had something he did when he wanted to file stuff, and he said that he would send the clerk a notice of fraud or something like that, and that they would be, indicted or something like that if they charged him. Something, I remember him saying something like that.
Well, I only joined NLA about a year ago, and I don't know the law that well. My expertise now is really radio frequencies and radar, and I'm not sure if I'm an expert. But I sure do an awful lot of research, and I know a heck of a lot more than I did before. So I need help with law. I don't understand it. Wish I understood it more. Time's kind of running out.
Right. Well, are you taking the civics course and the...
I'm trying to not projectile vomit from this pulsed radar.
All right.
Or lose control of my bowels, because they do that too. I mean, I'm just trying to sleep, you know, get my rest. And it's horrific. I'll try to figure something out, but I haven't gotten anywhere now, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want them to issue a warrant for my arrest because I'm not paying on this whenever I've already overpaid. I've never been arrested in my life, but I'm pretty sure they're dying to do that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to mute myself. I've got stuff on the stove.
Okay. So I don't see the guy that I invited to come on here earlier, Lou. He's not on here.
What was he going to talk about?
Well, he's got a case. He's so funny. He goes, I know how to win in court all the time, he said, but this judge is just out of control. So it sounds like all of them to me. And he goes, I just need some advice or some help. And I said, well, then get on the call tonight and tell us what your situation is, and we'll see what we can do, or give you advice or whatever, or give you. I told him to send a note, do a courtroom observer request too, so you can have witnesses there. But he's not on. But it might have been because we were having a hard time getting started tonight. It could have been that. I don't know. I never did see him on here, though. Well, does anybody else have anything to report or share?
No, but I just want to expand on the fact that, this apparently the NLA lawsuit isn't going to go anywhere, and I think that eventually the NLA is going to have to come to the conclusion that the commercial process is going to be the only viable alternative, because they're not going to move. They're just going to ignore us for as long as possible.
Oh, you mean so go into their thing and just, because there was a guy I remember who was actually, I can't remember his name, but basically what he said, he would stand in front of the camera and he had this huge line of books, and he said that this is all commercial law stuff, but he said wherever there's a, what did he call it, within commercial law, where there's a problem, there's always a remedy, but you need to know where to go to find it. And so, I mean, that's the whole thing with Winston Shroud. He says, yeah, it's a fraudulent system, but why not work it in your favor? Use it to work in your favor if you are able to master it. Maybe that's what we need to do. I don't know. I mean...
Well, I think that what, they're going to find out is that they're just... there really is no way. I think that we're going to find that out the hard way with NLA's lawsuit. They're they're just going to completely ignore him. Then that's the only way. I mean, I don't, you know, if the judicial system, I mean, you can only go so far, you know?
Right.
There's not like a secret court where you can file stuff, you know?
Right.
So, I don't have a lot of hope for this, you know, lawsuit. So, we'll see.
Okay.
Well, there's something else, too. It's got to do with the 14th Amendment, and back during the 1871 when they were doing the all the corporation stuff, they came out with the what they call a UFIS threat. That's where the United States Army would make sure that a person was given his constitutional rights in court. So we can use a judge advocate general to take these guys down. Don't count that out. I tried to tell that to John. They went right over their heads. They didn't get it. But trust me, do a little research.
Well, actually, we did try that. In New Jersey, and they completely ignored us.
Of course they will.
But, yeah. Well, you know, we haven't, completed that process, but the initial response was, oh, this is a civil matter. We can't get involved. But they were constitutional violations against a Marine, former Marine.
What you need to do is he's the chaplain for the United States military. He's the chaplain in charge of all United States military under the provost marshal. You go through him.
Okay. I'm not sure if we contacted the provost marshal, but I don't think we have, but I guess that would be the next step.
Well,
because we already went to the base commander, and he told us to take a hike.
Well, that's true, but it's just like the sheriff. A lot of people in dealing with the sheriff, they don't understand that the sheriff, you can use a two-edged sword on him. Number one, if the sheriff is violating your constitutional rights, he is subject to a lawsuit. In other words, if he serves a warrant on you from the IRS and you have legitimate grounds to show that you're not a taxpayer and you, et cetera, then that sheriff is liable.
Mm-hmm.
If your rights are being violated, you can take it to your sheriff and sue him and the county that he represents and the governor of the state. Because they take an oath to protect your rights, and if they're not doing their job, they need to be called on the carpet and go to jail.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because that's exactly what I'm going to be doing in my case. I had my father's estate stolen under color of law. I did not go to the sheriff because the prosecutor was corrupt, and he was in collusion with the judge who was appointed to, handle the... I'm going to go to the prosecutor and say, you got to do something about this, even though the prosecutor was the one who stole the estate. Now, if he doesn't do anything, then I'm going to take the logical next step, which would be go to the sheriff. And if that doesn't work, then what I'm probably going to have to do is either start do a collateral attack in federal court or use a commercial process.
Why don't you fill out some paperwork and submit it to the grand jury?
Well, here's the other thing is that that was going to be the one of the steps too, is I was going to go through the grand jury. But the thing about it in New Jersey is like every other state, that they say there is no public corruption in New Jersey, and if there is, the prosecutor is the only one who can handle that. The public has no say in criminal prosecution. They are only allowed to be victims of criminal prosecution by the state. That's as far as it goes. They will not. And what I found is also interesting is how the stranglehold that the judicial system has on the press, the mainstream press, because they never report a case of judicial corruption. And of course, I'm sure a lot of people call about these cases because I'm one of them. And so the only time that they report a case of judicial corruption, if it comes from official sources, if a judge reports misconduct or if a prosecutor does, but they will never report any judicial corruption that comes from the public.
It's just one corporation protecting another corporation and scratching each other's backs.
Right. Right, and we have to expose that.
They're all involved. They're so intertwined. It's ridiculous. Look what's going on with Trump and the media, and the fake news and the rest of it.
Yeah, well, that's being exposed, and so
it's being exposed on the internet, but not on. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people that still think the fake news is the real news.
Right. Well. Sort of. I mean, to me, who's watching TV? The only people that are watching TV are the people who don't use a computer.
Well, that's what they say. Even Fox News, which I never really particularly liked. I think that Bill O'Reilly was a big blowhard. But the only people who are watching it are like 65-year-old. Not that I have anything against old people, but they're just not tuned in. They don't know what's going outside of what they see on TV.
So has anybody, I wanted to ask somebody about this. I mean, this is sort of a little bit different, but we're talking about fake news, real news, whatever. And have you seen that article about Trey Gowdy's two investigators that were going to investigate the Clinton Library and they ended up being tortured and murdered?
I got it, but I thought it was fake news. I got a response that it was fake news.
Well, I heard that, but I also not sure because how the fake news likes to, the real fake news likes to say the truth is fake. So I've heard that he actually is under that Trey Gowdy and his family are under protection right now.
That wouldn't surprise me, but I hadn't heard about the two investigators who were supposedly murdered.
Well, this is what the story is saying is that nobody was supposed to know what these two guys were going down there to do, that or even that they were going down there. It was supposed to be a surprise visit. And what Trey is saying is that there's a mole in his administration that warned the Clintons, and they're looking for whoever that is because they want to find out who's paying them to do it. That doesn't sound fake to me. Just sounds kind of like that's what they do.
Well, it does, and I'll tell you, I listen to a lot of alternative sources that I think are reliable. A lot of people criticize Alex Jones, but I think he's on target for the most part. Same thing with Roger Stone and the other commentators on InfoWars. But I hadn't heard that story about Trey Gowdy, and I go onto the site like every day. So I don't know. That one sounds a little fishy. But, there was another one that went around, too. I forget what it was about. And I sent it on, and it turned out it was fake news. It was a hoax. So you got to be careful.
Right. But the thing is that MSM sends out hoax stuff all the time.
The MSM does what?
Sends out hoax stuff all the time. The mainstream media, that's all they do is send out stuff like that.
Well, it's not so much I don't think that they send it out. It's what they don't report,
Mm-hmm.
I think they pretty much let everybody else send out this fake news, and they just sit back and say, that doesn't involve us, and they and so everybody buys into it. Look at what happened with this Pizzagate. 6 months ago, everybody was talking about it. Now nobody's talking about it except for a few people on their YouTube channels, you know? So I'm wondering, what happened with that, you know? And they say that there's, you know, there's been arrests, but the thing about it is, and people are talking about it, like David Zublik. Do you know him?
No.
Okay, so I'll send you a link to him. He's always talking about it. He said there are arrests being made and all this kind of stuff. But the funny thing about it is I never see anything in the mainstream media. That doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right.
But, you know, on the other, on you got to double-check this stuff, though, a lot of time, because that's how they suck you in. And, you know, you buy this, and they say, oh, you know, you're sending out fake news, you know. So you really got to go to someplace, you know, to check it out. And I don't recommend Snopes or whatever they call it.
Well, see, that's the other thing, is that these certain, these things that are out there saying that they're saying they're investigating and they are the ultimate to tell you whether it's fake or not, they're fake.
I know.
I mean, so, you know, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, okay, well, I think it's coming around 10 o'clock. And so, Terry, you know, you're taking over next week. So,
okay.
You feel like you know how to set it
up? Yeah, it's not rocket science.
Okay, good, good. All right, well.
So if I want to mute someone, I just click the X, right?
Yeah, just click the mute box there, and you can. If the only reason I do that is the same reason you said, if there's noise in the background and they're not, you know, it's just interrupting our call, that's the only reason I do it.
Don't worry, I'll keep them all under control.
Okay, good. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Wait a minute, I have one more thing to say.
Oh, hi, Fred.
Before we hang up, last week I mentioned a Faraday cage. And I wanted to apologize to that poor lady. I didn't mean to demean her because she's a woman and an engineer and all of that. I understand now that super low frequencies can penetrate a Faraday.
Oh, I see, right.
And in fact, I think it would be a very good question to ask the ham operators, because believe me, these people are interested in that kind of stuff and smart meters too.
Right.
Anything that can interfere with their radio frequency or jam them or copy them or anything like that, oh, these guys, if there's one thing they don't like, if somebody's snooping on them, they want to be in control of their communications.
Oh, I see.
And they are some sharp cookies. A lot of these guys were in the military, radio operators and stuff like that. A lot of them worked with what they call I shouldn't talk about it. Anyway, it's where you take signals and you process them and reverse engineer it. Find out where it's coming from, what frequencies and all of that garbage, okay?
So can they actually reverse it so that it just goes back to the originator, whoever's doing it?
Well, if you can isolate the frequency that it's transmitting on, what you can do with that is you can come out and you can blow them out. Well, it's like, okay, have you ever been near a highway in a house, and all of a sudden you hear a guy on a CB blasting by on his truck?
No, but
or you're in the car on the road and somebody on a truck with a CB is blasting across your radio?
No, I never had that.
Well, that's over amplification. It's where they
It's
where their signal is so strong it's just going all over the place and penetrating other frequencies.
Yeah, that can upset your television broadcasting too, can it?
Sure can, because on your TV, it's FM for your video and AM for your listening.
Right.
And, you know, they've come up with stereo AM as well for sound.
Mm-hmm.
And now on your TV signals, they've got it digitized.
Right.
So there have been a lot of changes. They can compress more signal into the available bandwidth. And that's without getting into phase encodation. So, you know, it's just on the commercial market.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can actually do is you can take the frequency that it's putting out and you can turn around and jam that frequency, or you can blow out its transmitter.
Hmm. It sounds like I need to talk to you.
No, you don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to somebody in the area that is an expert at that.
Well, it's really hard to measure ultra-wideband. If you look that up, it's very difficult, especially pulse ultra-wideband. This is
What's really hard is to discern what frequency you're being barraged with, because in the spectrum of sound and noise, you are being barraged right now by cell phones, satellites, and satellite TV.
I know. I want the one that's rattling my teeth.
Well, there you are, and that's the one you want to get.
It's like I have a yardstick to measure this, and I really need millimeters, you know? So I really need to know the instrument. But I've already spent $800 on a gigahertz solution meter. The next one up that goes up to 10 gigahertz from also a German meter is $1,400. I can't afford all this.
I wouldn't spend another penny. don't you understand? There are people out there with this equipment already.
They turn it off whenever they come to the house. They need to have the equipment here. When you're surveilled, you're surveilled. They turn it off. Not that easy.
They turn it off when somebody...
You know, and I've asked Terry this, the ham radio person, and she has given me some guidance on GNU's SDR, software-defined radio, except I don't know how to build one. But I can probably get away with doing something like that if I build my own software-defined radio using GNU, GNU, for under $200 to measure this. I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, well, back in the day, they used to have what they called a Heath kit. You ever heard of a Heath kit?
Well, this is brand new, and I don't know if I want to go back in the day. It's something you can build on your computer. The radio is a receiver, and it acts as a meter, and it's the size of a USB drive, like a memory stick. That's how big the radio is, and then you build onto it.
I get it. Okay, so your radio, but what kind of radio is it?
It's an SDR, software-defined radio. It's open-sourced, and you can...
Software-defined radio. In other words, it can pick up AM, FM, weatherband, or any other channel you want within certain parameters.
Yeah, you drop the parameters in there that you want. First, you buy the memory stick-looking thing, receiver, that's going to act as a radio. You can look it up on Amazon, and she pointed me to a few places that I can forward to you so you can look at it.
I don't need to. I can find that stuff. I mean,
okay.
The thing about it is, though, that's only one part, because they're not going to sell you something that can do all frequencies. They'll sell you something that'll do most frequencies. What I'm trying to say is they don't want you listening to the super low frequency that communicates with submarines, with the missile launch codes. They don't want you communicating with satellites so you can change the direction or what they're viewing. You know what I mean? You're going to get a commercial piece of junk. Anyway, that's my take on it.
So, all right, so it's after 10 o'clock. So, Terry, you know, just to hit the stop the record button?
Yeah, let me just get back to that. Okay.
It's just under the live conference thing.
Recording, which is recording, just